Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. December 8, 2021. The biological war against egoism. The pandemic has thrown the world into disarray because people do not understand what is happening, do not know what will happen next, and do not know how to protect themselves. Therefore, there is no joy in people and life in the city is no longer bustling and bubbling. It has changed to a gloomy atmosphere. Everyone thinks only about how to stay healthy and not to get infected. But it would be a mistake to assume that this is a temporary period that will pass. The coronavirus pandemic is here to stay for a long time because this is a very special blow. The virus knows how to affect all areas of our life, family, all of society, children and adults, from young people to the elderly. It can make all kinds of corrections in all forms of society and its connections. There will also be such strains of coronavirus that will destroy everything old and establish new connections between us. This virus is very smart. It is a biological particle and it is waging a biological war with us, against our egoism. Therefore, the virus with all its new global forms of manifestation will accompany us, until the end of correction. Egoism will try to adapt to living next to this beast called coronavirus. But this will not work because this is a biological war that nature is waging against us. If we react to this war correctly, as to something that is directing us, to the correction of egoism, we will succeed. The Creator attacks us, with this biological virus and tries to put us, in order. But humanity has not yet grasped the correct form it should treat what is happening. The virus is a factor of a very high and special level because it affects the lack of the correct connection at the biological level. This is no longer the inanimate or vegetative degree but an animate one and one that belongs to the spiritual level. That is, the virus acts as if it wants to jump out into spirituality. Since we do not make this jump, the virus pushes us to ascend to the spiritual degree. And it will do its job. Eventually, we will discover that we have no solution and that only through the common work of all of us, will we be able to eliminate the coronavirus. It will become clear to us that this can be done only through our joint efforts. The virus will oblige us to connect with each other, and this is the only way we can survive it. The virus is advancing us to spirituality but so far in a negative form. If we were correctly connected with each other, we would be acting more correctly together toward the virus. It would direct us to where we should connect more and where less, it would guide us. Since we are not doing this yet, and doctors do not disclose that all diseases depend on human behavior, on the lack of balance between us, we will have to suffer more. Soon we will understand that it is necessary to cover ourselves with masks not so that we do not get infected by the virus from others, but in order not to let your virus infect others. This is already a factor at the human level because it is determined not just by the mask on my face but by my attitude toward this protection. Am I trying for my own good or for the sake of others? Who do I put a mask on my face? The pandemic will not end but will only grow. Nature will not let us be. Nature has millions of different viruses. A virus is a genetic defect that we cause in the genetic system of nature. The entire system is interconnected at all levels, in all forms, in all subsystems. We do not establish the correct connection between people, the law of love your neighbor as yourself, but only move further away from it. By this, we stimulate the release of viruses, the incorrect development of biological particles at the highest degree of the development of nature above which is only the spiritual degree. We ourselves cause these viruses. They are a consequence of our uncorrected egoism. Therefore, the pandemic will not end so easily. It will grow and spread in all kinds of ways. Nature has the means to restrain us, and guide us, correctly to the goal. From CabTV's conversation with journalists November 28, 2021. Michael Lehtman, on Quora, what's your opinion about the new series on Netflix called Squid Game? One of my students explained how Squid Game is a prime example of how human nature is completely egoistic. That is, a few hundred people who are in serious debt and mental distress are brought to this game, given various challenges, and whoever loses is killed. The one running the game creates different intrigues and conflicts between the participants, placing them in situations where they need to kill the person that was with them up until the end. It exemplifies our egoistic human nature in a very cutting manner, that is the will to kill other people in order to secure our own survival. In short, everyone does everything egoistically, that is personally benefiting at the expense of others and nature, in order to survive, and in our daily lives, we wish to eliminate those standing in our way of survival in this world. While living according to an egoistic paradigm, then it appears to us that if we do not eliminate people who we perceive as threats to our survival and happiness today, then tomorrow, they could very well get the upper hand over us, and stand in our way of happiness and a sense of security. With such a realization, we can raise the question about how to correct this situation and make the world a better place. Doing so first requires the need to recognize our evil, that we are egoistic beings that prioritize self-benefit over benefiting others, which leads us to use and exploit others for self-benefit. As a result of such a revelation, we would then become receptive to explanations on how to change our nature from egoistic to its altruistic opposite. By engaging in education that guides this egoism to altruism transformation, we will then be able to make this change happen, and we will sense a different world that is filled with mutual support, concern, love and connection. Based on the video, if Squid Games were real, what would you do? With Kabbalist Dr. Michael Lehtman and Aaron Levi. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Lehtman. Insidious human nature. Question: what exactly should a person recognize as evil? Answer: our egoism, our attitude toward each other. At all stages of development, we used our will to receive because this is our nature. Now, however, it manifests itself as egoistic, as especially evil in relation to other people. Everything in the world is built on in order to receive pleasure, not just at the expense of another when we earn together as partners or give each other pleasure as spouses. A person receives pleasure precisely when he rises above the other, humiliates the other. This is where the last egoistic form manifests itself, and to define it as evil, as the next form that should be opposite to it, good, love, connection over egoism, over hatred, this is a very difficult transition. The wisdom of Kabbalah should help us understand this and go through this quickly and painlessly. Comment: I think many people will disagree with you that we use others and humiliate them. My response: we do this automatically. We are attuned in this way and we do not even realize what we're in. Even while having a pleasant conversation, each of us tries to be above the other, tries to position himself so as to look better, to present himself more favorably in order to capture the attention of others even just a little. Our entire nature consists of such veiled forms. From Cab TV's Close Up. New Life 1325. Building Public Trust.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lehtman. Hello, Dr. Lehtman. Hello, hello. Hello, Mitzamazos. Hello. And today we'd like to talk to Dr. Lehtman about trust between the individual and society. You can also ask questions live on Facebook. We'll try to ask them here on Dr. Lehtman's page. Nitza, please. Yeah, trust. It's something really painful trust is a necessary condition, component that exists in any social system. It's actually a condition for some kind of consent, communication, rules, laws, creating some kind of framework. And when the system of trust is broken, then, of course, there's fear of disintegration, and no one trusts or believes anyone else, and it's very hard to establish any kind of relationship. And today we'd like to focus on the problem of trust, or the lack of trust between an individual and society. Always it was clear that there is the particular interest and there is the general social interest. And even though that it was clear that there is a particular interest involved, still they could kind of live together in a sort of balanced way. Today there is a feeling that the personal particular interest is far greater than the general social one, and something's falling apart in this relationship. By the way, according to a survey done last month, then about 30% of the public here in Israel, only 30%, trust the different governmental systems, etc., etc. So this is something very low, all-time low. So let's try and understand what broke between the individual and society. Well, it's not society. You have to make a distinction between the lack of trust between man and the government, between a person and the government that's supposed to govern the public, the nation, the people, and also an individual as a part of it, and the trust between man and his environment and the public and the nation. The nation and the government are two different things, and so we have to distinguish between man's attitude towards his relatives or those further away, managers, government. And certainly, there is a very serious matter of lack of trust, lack of compatibility, lack of connection between the two. First of all, it's clear to us, and not only to us, it's all over the world, that governments function egoistically, that first of all, they think about their well-being, their goal, that is to strengthen their particular engagements. Today, you don't have something like that, that a person sees that he doesn't fit the role or the position that he's in and moves aside, making room for someone who's more suiting or talented, etc., etc. No way. To the contrary, he'll bend the entire government and the entire country, and it doesn't matter to him that he's doing it really, that he's performing, that he's doing things that really harm his homeland, the country, the public, the nation. The main thing is that he's well off. The times of the pioneers of Ben-Gurion are behind us. There, too, you had struggles which weren't that clean between the right and left. And all the more nowadays, it became so twisted that you have no way to tell what's what, who's who. It's like a market that everyone wants to sell and buy, to buy for as cheap as possible and sell for as much as he can get. And this is what the government's all about. This is what it does. This is what it's engaged in. And we see it in the press, from what you can see, from what we do know, relations. But certainly, it doesn't add to our trust in the managers, and therefore 30% that you're talking about, that you're talking about ordinary citizens that believe the government, that it governs the nation, the people, to their benefit, to the benefit of the country, of society, of the public. I don't think so. I think that 30% is an exaggerated number. But because we have no other choice, this is how we are. How could it be that with such a low percentage of trust in the government, we don't do anything? And from one day to the next, we only look at what goes on, and we're willing for it to continue. Furthermore, it's not only the government, it's in general public systems, meaning that a person doesn't believe the police, courts, the army, no elected officials, those that are supposed to come and serve the public. The public simply doesn't believe the systems that are supposed to serve it.
True, yeah.
So there's nothing to add here, actually. Obviously, it's the deterioration of generations, the deterioration of man's attitude toward the country, toward the government, and it's only getting worse. What's the main danger, the way you see it, from your point of view, the main danger when such a system of trust is broken? A person loses his connection with a country, with a nation, with the land itself. He doesn't care whether he's living here or he's living in some other place. If he doesn't feel that the government's his, then what does he care? To fight for it? Because he's not looking at the country. What is a country? Is it the nation? No, the nation also is going through such states that everyone's thinking only about themselves, and there's no national connection here or anything. And that's the entire problem. The education that we have received is that you have to care for yourself. You feel good here, great. You don't, look for some other place on the planet, go ahead. Good luck, don't be a sucker. At this point, after we've tried to understand a bit how dangerous is it, and what is it based on, and you previously said that the thing that changed is that a person thinks only about himself, period. In such a reality that has brought us to a state where the mechanisms are detached from the public because each part of the mechanism is thinking only about itself, and it has nothing to do with one or another kind of political agenda. It's on all sides, and the public is crashing too. Also the public, not only the systems. So in this broken up situation, we want to build something better. Suppose we want to define principles for building new trust between an individual and society and the different governmental systems. Let's take a study case. There's a new mayor, yeah? And he came to a reality like we have now. There's the public, there's everything that you had before that. There's a lack of trust between the public and the system that he is going to govern. And you need, you or I or whoever, we need to lead the city as the mayor. And you understand that this is the lack of trust is the main problem, and you want to start building trust. What is the first principle that needs to lead us toward building trust? First of all, I have to depict the situation that we are in to the public, that we're in a system that's closing in on us, suppose within the city, and we have to provide ourselves with electricity, water, different basic needs, health services, education, different systems without which we can't exist. Because a particular person, and a person and a family, citizens living in that city, we need to see these systems working to the benefit of the general goal, which is to provide every person with a sense of security, provision, health, education, etc., etc., different such things, that these systems, they actually exist, but they exist disconnected from the person. But some of them get guidance from the government, and some of them, or altogether, they're arranged by the different ministries, however it's convenient to them, and whatever serves them in the best way. Meaning, it's the same disease, only that now it is broken down into details where each is concerned only with himself in relation to all of the city's systems. It is a difficult problem for the mayor if he really wants to arrange these things in a true and correct way. I imagine myself in his shoes. It's really to work against the ego of each and every person, all the systems, each and every citizen, and also the systems themselves that are in contradiction to one another, in opposition with one another, because the budget is one, and they need to share it, divide it, and it's always one at the expense of the other. So it's a problem. And here you have many different circles that have personal interests in the city. You have men, women, you have children. They're religious, secular. There are maybe also Arabs and Jews, meaning you need to be good with everyone, with all those that are within the boundaries of that city. So what do you do? Because then there's a problem in relation to the place where you are, how to use this entire place to the benefit of these, to the benefit of those, to close it on Shabbat, on Sabbath, so there won't be any traffic or in holidays or different other events or not. So it's a very complicated situation. Suppose we're living in a city, in the city of Petah Tikva. So, it is, I think it's the fifth largest city in Israel, or even larger. It's a problem. So it's not only a matter of knowing what to do, but what to start with. Meaning, we actually need to bring the public to such a level where it understands what are we doing, and this way to raise their trust that even though that we're now doing things that aren't so pleasant, maybe at least for some of the public, but everyone agrees that we have no choice and we need to pay for individual freedoms, general freedom, etc., etc., etc. I'm keeping or taking care of that boat that is in stormy seas. So you said, first of all, to explain about the existing situation. Is it true, is it correct to expose the depth of the rift of the problem? To what extent to expose the problem, where does it come from, etc.? Well, this is a must. Otherwise, the mayor, and I'm not saying that that's how it is, but otherwise the mayor will not get the public's trust and will not be understood, will not be supported. So a proper mayor needs to be correctly connected with the public, with all the people in the city. So if we look at things from an integral point of view, what element or what main principle is it important to expose to the public in order to start building some kind of understanding of what is the root of all the problems of this disease in our systems. It's necessary to build and show everyone what are the priorities. The priorities in relation to the city, what are our principles, what's more, what's less important, how do we divide, or according to what do we divide the budget, what comes first, what comes next, in terms of money, in terms of the process of correction, the process itself, to explain it to the public, to show it to everyone, for the public to support it and understand, and so. So we talked about transparency, how important it is that the mayor will surface, explain the situation, his priorities, the process of decision making. And even if there's no consent, for example, suppose now he explains about a certain process of decision-making and the public disagrees. Does it still build trust to the measure to which he's open to the public and explains what is the process according to which he is approaching the healing of the situation, then the public starts understanding that the mayor has a certain plan, or I'd even say a kind of dream, and he's going for it. And maybe he opens it up for discussion, and then the public understands that this person is really treating them not like some kind of flock, herd, but that he does want their support, that he treats them as human beings that are living together with him, that the citizens of that city need to discuss together with him the things that are more important, less important, because by voting for him, they didn't make it so that now he is he's the sheikh for the upcoming 5 years. But that all in all, he needs to listen to everyone, to see the important things, and for him to actually govern a common, the city's, it's a common desire of the public. They need to know that he has such a direction, such a desire that he'll do the best. In short, his plan is to do to the benefit of the city, to the benefit of the citizens, and not to the benefit of keeping his chair, so that in the next round he'll be prime minister instead of mayor. Look, I'm sure that the mayor before him, he also came with pretty words, and he said, I want... No, I'm not talking about pretty words. I'm talking about plans that he's now building according to... That he talks to the people, you know, like it used to be in the past, that the ruler comes out to the city square and all the public's there and he hears everyone and the different groups, these want that, these want that, those want this, and he listens and he understands the problems. The mayor, he can't be from the outside, from some place that he doesn't understand what's going on here. He can't bring even I don't know what kind of politician, as pretty as he might be, and that, you know, he really knows how to talk and everything. You can't bring him here. You need to bring a person who understands the problems, the specific problems of this city, and that he has a plan from long ago, that he's thinking that this and this and that should be done, this how it should be. And that nonetheless, he takes into consideration and talks to the people. Okay, let's zoom out a moment. The example of a mayor in a city in which you have to build trust is just an example. But I want to learn about the situation in general. So what is the first integral principle that we need to take in order to build trust? That the chosen mayor, who's chosen freely by all people in the city, and, you know, open elections, and he commits and carries out all the plans that are necessary in order to advance the city, in order to heal it, along with the citizens in that city. It's not that, okay, I got my chair, now shut up, I'm ruler for 5 years. So the principle is to be together. Yes, that's the principle, together. All in all, you can't, all the people of the city can't talk all the time at the same time, every time. And therefore, there's a group that is accepted by the public that follows up on what the mayor does. There are different other systems that come, that are on part of the public, that aren't related to the management of the city, and they work. And that's how the public works with the mayor. Is it true for any kind of system, the police department, a country? I can't say anything about systems like the police and the army, but all the public systems, surely they need to work that way. And, you know, practically you do have that, but it's not working correctly. So what needs to be added? This is exactly the next question. What will make the difference that will shift it from words to practical implementation, correct implementation? These systems don't work in mutual connection. There's no feedback. There's no correct, true feedback between what the public all in all thinks and what later on the mayor implements through or with the help of his systems. So that's a really interesting question, because we talked about transparency and trust, and theoretically, obviously, this is what needs to be done in order to improve the system of trust. But in practice, is it some kind of malfunction or something much greater and deeper? Because we're talking about the relations between two systems, the public system and the local governmental system, and these two systems are egoistic ones, that each thinks to his own benefit without taking into consideration what's going to happen. Suppose now the religious, seculars, men, women, they have different things, they have different groups among the citizens of the city. No one wants to take the others into consideration. There's nothing that unites them, that connects them. Everyone wants to determine something to their own benefit and wants to exist at the expense of others. And it's a problem. So, every sector cares for itself. But suppose it would have been like some challenge, like a game, that every sector would get the challenge of another sector. No, of course not. How could that be? That if I, suppose, belong to the religious sector, then now the challenges that I'm getting are to be concerned with, educating the youth. Can be. So there need to be systems that can really make a difference, that can influence the mayor and the mayor every time, is in different kinds of connection and communication with them. But again, the problem isn't the people, because the people themselves, they act egoistically to their own benefit. It's not something personal. It needs to be at least to the benefit of that public. You're saying that a person who's leading such a system, what does he need to say? He needs to say that he needs to participate in a rational, friendly way with the other systems. Suppose you have a system that's responsible for Torah studies, that's responsible for religious needs, on the one hand. And on the other hand, you have to take care of women and children. You have to take care of the young generation, of the older generation. How can you settle all these systems in a way that everyone will be content? You need to take all these decisions into account. There should, you know, in a way of mutual consideration between everyone, that every part of the city, religious, secular, children, women, etc., etc., health systems, the fire department, the government, and whatnot, that they all take each other into consideration, understanding that it can't be that some one side will get more than what it deserves at the expense of others. But all in all, there's one pocket out of which all of us need to get money and, you know, live from this money, develop the different systems in the city. There is no such approach. The approach is that I don't care about anyone. They can die as much as I care, and I need to live. Suppose I'm responsible for whatever system it is. Even the health system that's important to everyone is of. But I also need to take into consideration the fact that I can't pull into this system from the education system, etc., etc. There's a general problem of education, the education of man here, of these groups that exist in the city, that they actually, each of them, each group, sees the city as that instrument with the help of which it fulfills its needs. And suppose comes the mayor, looks at this situation, and he sees that as a result of everyone thinking about themselves, not caring about anyone else, also inside the different governing mechanisms, and the public doesn't believe anyone, the government in any way, and he wants to divert that ship in the direction of trust. What is trust? First of all, he needs to open everything. Make everything open, revealed, maybe publish a newspaper. For sure there's a local newspaper. And to explain there every, I don't know, quarter, the different opinions, disputes, decisions that there are in the city in a light and convenient way that any citizen can understand, so that all the citizens will understand that the governance is going on in the optimum way. It's like relatives, that, you know, it can't be that you give everything to the little children and nothing for the parents and nothing for the grandparents, because you need to clean and you need groceries and you need to strengthen, I don't know, have to repair things. Meaning, what creates trust in a family? That everyone needs to exist. And the main thing is love. That they are above just being in one area together in one realm, but there are ties of love between them. And this is what the mayor needs to awaken in the citizens of that city to some extent, that we're together in one place. This is our home, the boundaries of the city or the municipality, and let's treat it as a family, relate to it as a family. And we need to give everyone the opportunity to live in dignity and think about each other. And let's make this a role model city. In the past, there were no big countries. There were cities that each city was like a country. So we need to think the same way now. Dr. Leitman, thank you very much. Unfortunately, our time's up. Thank you, Nitsa. Thank you for being with us. Until next time, all the best.
Execution from the spiritual point of view. Question: what is execution? Answer: execution means killing the opportunity for correction. However, in itself, it is also a correction. Question: does it mean that I had the opportunity to go by the path of correction, but I could not use it? Answer: it does not matter whether you could or you could not, but if you stop this advancement, you are cutting off your egoism from the opportunity to correct it. From CAB TV's Secrets of the Eternal Book, September 27, 2021. Returning to harmony with nature. Question: in one of the lessons about the Book of Zohar, you discussed the fact that prototypes of two forces, male and female, bestowal and reception, are the two luminaries, the moon and the sun. Why is a woman more affected by the moon? Even her pregnancy is set according to the lunar calendar. Answer: a lot is said about this not only in the Book of Zohar but also in other Kabbalistic sources. Our entire spiritual essence is built on the connection between reception and bestowal, the power of Zir and Pin and Malkhut, which in our world are represented by the sun and the moon. Therefore, we on earth are under the ruling of these two forces. All of nature is very sharply divided into male and female parts. The male part is identified with the sun and the female part with the moon. This comes from the opposition of these two forces of nature, and man exists in order to bind them together. Once upon a time, in the early stages of human development, we were not so egoistic and did not resist nature and its harmony. We were close to it, we were more inside it. Therefore, everything that happened in nature happened to us, in the same sequence, at the same pace, with the same fluctuations. In particular, the women's cycle began on the new moon for every woman in the world. And why wouldn't it be so if it was clearly built in accordance with lunar cycles? Contrary to lower animals, humans can conceive throughout the year. But we went through such stages in our development when women could conceive only at a certain time, and birth took place exactly after 9 months. There were no premature births in those days. It is a frequent phenomenon today because egoism introduces such distortions in us that alienate us from nature. We know how much our body is now not adapted to nature. We can no longer live without plastic, and we will probably just get poisoned with natural products. So, we cannot talk today about how to come back to some kind of harmony with nature through ordinary means. Although people try to somehow maintain their connection, this is no longer possible. And in the past, we really fully felt nature, felt the weather in advance, all kinds of climatic changes, the breath of nature. That is what people who are inside nature and know what will happen to them feel. That is, nature is actually something deeper, more voluminous, and more transparent than what we are used to see when looking at the world around us. Question: when Kabbalists talk about balance with nature, do they urge us to return to the past state? Answer: it is not about that, but about how we really rise to the correct level of nature. Our current state is, in principle, correct. It takes us out of the fact that we are inside nature and makes us rise above it, and rise not in an artificial form when we create some kind of artificial habitat, but rise to the level of the force that manages this nature. It is called the Creator, the power of bestowal, the power of love, the relationship between all parts of nature. We must rise to the level of this force and become adequate to it. From CabTV's close-up. Two-headed eagle. How to feel freedom? Question: to control fate means to rise above your egoism. In order to do this, you need a group of like-minded people in which a person unites with others. This is the best way to exit egoism. Why do we get freedom of choice precisely after exiting egoism? Answer: because you are already free from your ego. Freedom is not just freedom. Where am I? In an airless space? Freedom is when, on one hand, you feel that your egoism is holding your legs and does not let you get off the ground. On the other hand, you have the force that steers you away from it. And you are in between and you constantly control them. This is freedom. Otherwise, if you break away from your egoism, you will not feel freedom. You need it to feel that you are torn away from it. From CabTV's Spiritual States, October 26, 2021.